person not yet baptized, and only such a person is able to be baptized, which translates anyone and everyone who wants to, including children, which is a controversial theological issue, including children. You can leave that. Regarding the question of children, we read in the Catechism, the practice of infant baptism is an immemorial tradition of the Church. There is explicit testimony to this practice from the 2nd century on. And it is quite possible that from the beginning of the apostolic preaching, when whole households received baptism, that infants were included, were baptized then. So how can we baptize children? Does baptism respect the freedom of the child? You hear that reasoning. I'm not going to impose that on my child. I'm going to let my child, when he or she can make choices for him or herself, make that choice. An important question. Or is Jesus more respectful of our freedom than anybody else? And there's no subsequent obligation. A gift is given which still respects the freedom. It doesn't bind somebody into religious practice. It's beyond religious practice. So, to answer the question, how can we baptize children? We need, again, to look at the reality of the Church. We said the Church is the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, and we're carried by the Church, which is why we also call the Church our mother. We are carried by the Church. And it's in this perspective, by the way, that we say at Mass, look not on our sins, but on the faith of the Church. It's an amazing appeal to the Church, because if it were just this individual thing, well, we'd be up the creek to an extent. But we're carried by the Church. We're carried by the faith of our brothers and sisters, the Church, us, who are the body of Christ, who are espoused to Christ. And so, in baptizing a child, we appeal to the Church who carries us beyond our individual selves. We are bound to one another and are the mystical body, and the faith of the Church, crystallized in the faith of the parents, is enough to open the child to the gift of grace given in baptism. Not all Christians agree with that, but that is what the Church has come to understand regarding baptism. The faith of the Church, crystallized in the faith of the parents and the godparents, is enough to open the child, because Jesus says, let the children come unto me. And Jesus would say that just so he could look at them and say, well, come back when you're 18. When Jesus draws to himself, he always communicates something. Always. Otherwise, he wouldn't say that. It would be in vain if he would say that. It's very important to understand how that works, being carried by the Church. I mean, we do it when we pray for one another. Intercession. We have the ability to hope for other people. And my hope for you opens you, whether you know it or not. You see, God respects the bonds of love between us and very discreetly and respectfully responds to that, to our pleading for someone else. Okay? Be it in simple intercession, asking for blessing, or be it with respect to the baptism of a child. So the Catechism says that the sheer gratuitousness of grace... Okay, we're working out the PowerPoint. The sheer gratuitousness of the grace of salvation is particularly manifest in infant baptism. God just gives and shares. He doesn't wait until we're ready to sign a contract. He shares because he is love. Now, to further underscore what baptism is, and because of what it is, how it can be given to infants, I'd like to look at the doctrine of another Christian denomination, if I may do that respectfully. Because I went online and I just typed in infant baptism. And the first thing that appeared, I accessed on the web. And it was a church based in Colorado Springs, Colorado, called New Life Church. Never heard of it, but apparently from the website, a very big mega church, as we call them. Great website, podcast for the young people, all sorts of things that we dream of doing. And on the website, I found an article or an expose of their doctrine regarding baptism. I thought, well, this is really interesting. Why don't I put the two in parallel and just see how different Christians have come to a different understanding. And by contrast, highlight what the Catholic Church has come to understand. It was very interesting, because in this church, unlike a lot of mega churches, they do believe in infant baptism, which surprised me. Okay, a lot of churches will say, no. It's only when you're ready that you will be baptized. Because in a lot of other churches, there's no belief that baptism actually communicates something. It's just a symbolic ceremony that shows to the community that you have previously, prior to that celebration, accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You've made a profession of faith. And then because Jesus says you need to be baptized, well, we'll do that. But it doesn't effectively communicate anything. Jesus doesn't come. He always comes, because every time we appeal to him, he comes. But not as we believe in the sacrament. There's not that gesture, that embrace. So I have here 3 points from their expose on infant baptism, which is very interesting, because it's exactly what we're not saying. The first, infant baptism does not mean that the child is saved by or through baptism. And they go on to say, just as the physical act of circumcision never saved anyone in and of itself, but that's the old covenant. You see, you can't use the old covenant to define the new covenant. Little mistake. The act of infant baptism, this church claims, never saves anyone. Baptism is not some magic rite. It is not an assurance that if your child should die in infancy, he will go to heaven. That's really reassuring. Thank you. Woo! I think I'll stay here. Second point, I just took 3 of 5, I believe there was. Infant baptism does not infuse them with grace or give them the Holy Spirit. Some churches teach that baptism washes away original sin. I wonder what they're talking about. And infuses a child with grace and the Holy Spirit. In other words, they teach that baptism actually gives a child the Holy Spirit and saving grace. They say, And the third point, infant baptism does not grant faith, but is God's promise to save if faith is later present. Just what I described to you. We believe that Jesus precedes us. He doesn't follow our initiative. He takes the initiative, and he can take it freely, perfectly respectful of an infant's freedom, and communicate himself with a little baby who's clueless, who has no say in it, because God is love. We believe that Jesus not only speaks, but touches, embraces. We believe that he instituted gestures, which we call sacraments, both his words and his gestures for us. He entrusts to the mystical body, as I've been saying, and to his shepherds. Why does he do that? Because he wants love to be full. It is for the fullness of love. So Jesus touches children and anyone else who comes unto him. And his touch is effective. It's not just symbolic. It really gives his love. And his touch effectively transforms us.